Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 283 main event for the light heavyweight title. Glover Teixeira, former champion, taking on Jamal Hill. Interesting, like, crossing of generations this one is for me. And it's amazing you look back on Glover Teixeira's career. I was just saying to Jamie before we started recording, I was looking back on his career, and you can go back 10 years, pretty much to the date that he's fighting Jamal Hill. And he has a win over Quinton Jackson, UFC on Fox, Johnson versus Dodson, January 26, 2013. I mean, the work that this guy has put in over the years. I mean, you know, he turned pro in 2002, fought Matt Horwich in 2004. It's quite an incredible career. And then on the other side, you've got Jamal Hill, who's, you know, 11-1, a very kind of new face to not only to mixed martial arts, but just to... Well, just to combat sports generally, you know, the amount of time that Glover Teixeira has been competing compared to Jamal Hill is a massive advantage to a point, which I'm going to get into in a minute, because there's a certain pattern with Glover Teixeira's fights, as we've talked about before on the show, where, you know, he tends to get caught with a few shots early and then recovers it with good fundamentals later in the fight. But that does run out, and my concern is that, you know, what is he, 30, 44, did we say, Jamie? 43, 44, hang on a minute, come on, Wikipedia. 43, yeah. It's coming, isn't it? You know, there comes a point when, you know, the shots that you take and recover from, you don't recover from anymore. And what we know about Jamal Hill is that he can crack with both hands. Very elusive, very dangerous, long reach, tall, rangy guy. You know, not got the kind of wear and tear that Glover Teixeira has got a great opportunity in front of him. It's a really interesting one. Really interesting. Okay, before we get into it, so the show is brought to you by AG1, Athletic Greens. Fantastic stuff, as you know. These are the travel packs. I love these things. Always got a couple in my bag when I'm on the road. So I started using this stuff, well, for a few different reasons. One, because I'm just terrible at making sure that my diet is covered in my meals. I'm just kind of, I forget to eat and I snack on things that are, you know, that aren't necessarily as nutritionally valuable as I should be. This keeps me covered. This makes sure I'm getting all my probiotics, my 75 vitamins and minerals that are keeping me sleeping well and thinking clearly. And it's just really good stuff. You start off with a scoop in the morning, and that sets you for the day, sets the tone for the day, you could say. The other thing as well is, you know, not to steal a line out of Samuel L. Jackson, Pulp Fiction, but my wife's in training camp, so pretty much I'm in training camp, and I need some nutrients to try and keep up with her because she's quite the athlete. It is really excellent stuff. Keeps all your baselines covered. Make sure that you're hitting those nutritional markers that you need to make to keep you in optimum health. So if you want to get some Athletic Greens, to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you 1 free year supply of vitamin D and K2. Again, really useful if you live in dark countries during the winter and you're not seeing much sunshine. You're going to need some of that for your immune system, especially with all the stuff that's flying around at the moment. You've got to make sure your immune system's on point. So you'll get a year free supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. These are fantastic. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/outlawed, same as the podcast, outlawed, /outlawed. Take ownership of your health and make sure you're hitting all those nutritional boundaries that you need to make sure that you're staying in prime condition. And talking about prime condition, I mean, AG1, Glover Teixeira, he must be bathing in this stuff. I mean, 33 wins, 8 losses on his record. You know, he's been in the UFC for well over 10 years. Just an all-round warhorse. And I like that term, and I don't use it very often because I feel like you can kind of reserve the term warhorse. Like, a warhorse is just something that endures and is strong and continuous and will not falter. You know, that's Glover Teixeira. And the times when we've watched him coming into fights as the underdog, like he was against Jan Błachowicz, you know, or Thiago Santos, where he's fighting someone that's quick and powerful and athletic and can move in ways that Glover Teixeira has not ever been able to move. Because, you know, he's a strong physical athlete who's got a really good handle on just the general overall basic game of mixed martial arts, good boxing, good wrestling, great jiu-jitsu. but he's never ever been like an explosive athlete. You know, when he came up against John Jones, like that was where you really started to see his limitations. Because for me, he's always kind of looked like he moves a bit like an old man. But that old man ability to endure and keep going is what has got him to the light heavyweight belt and what may get him the light heavyweight belt again, at this coming event. 33 wins on his record, 18 by knockout. He's got a lethal short-range left hook, which is really useful because he's very good at level changing onto people's legs up against the fence, doubles and singles, and just wrenching them off the fence and putting them on the ground. He's not trying to do anything overly spectacular. There's not like a real depth of like real kind of nuanced fancy wrestling moves in his game. He sticks to the fundamentals and he gets it done. And the reason why at 43 is still able to compete with the likes of Jamal Hill, who I'm sure he's 31. He's far, far closer to his prime than Glover Teixeira. The reason he's able to deal with these young, fresh, solid athletes like Hill and Thiago Santos is the one that stands out to me, of course, Jan, and is because of those fundamentals. Because when he gets hurt, when he's kind of, he's not quite there, he's not exactly sure what's going on, he's been dropped, he's been hurt, he's been concussed, his go-to basics are the highest percentage moves in mixed martial arts. He gets in on your legs, he wrestles you down, he passes your guard, he gets into mount, and then he clamps onto you in mount while he ground and pounds and waits for you to turn your back. And because he's so heavy and he's so clamped on in the mount position, as you saw against Santos and against Błachowicz, as they turn, there isn't the space for them to be on their knees. He just flattens them out, and that rear naked choke, I mean, especially the one against Błachowicz, it was such a short bite, and you can see how his whole upper body squeezes on Jan Błachowicz's neck. It's not just he's squeezing the arms, it's like his whole body becomes a part of the clamp. I love Glover Teixeira's game. I use him as a reference all the time when I'm talking about good basics, because look how far it's got him. 10 submissions on his record out of 33 wins, 6 rear naked chokes, 2 guillotines, 2 arm triangles. Highest percentage moves, like guillotines, rear naked chokes, solid high percentage moves. Arm triangles are fantastic because they couple very nicely with the rear naked choke process that he has, where he gets to mount and he starts grounding and pounding. And if somebody's not turning, but they are reaching, that's where the arm triangle setups go back to the Kyle Kingsbury fight, a really nice example of that. So on the other side, you've got Jamal Hill, who's no submissions on his record, 11 wins, 1 loss. The 1 loss, of course, was the floppy arm against Paul Craig. Ugh. Amazing it wasn't broken. They just kind of popped it back in and, he was fine. He was having beers a few minutes later with Paul Craig. No submissions on his record. According to Wikipedia, I believe he is a blue belt, which doesn't put him in good stead against Glover Teixeira. He has got 7 knockouts on his record. So of 11 wins, 7 knockouts, that's a pretty high knockout percentage. But again, 33 wins, 18 knockouts for Glover Teixeira. The guy's proven. But then again, the difference between them, two of them, is the position in which they're at in their career. Glover Teixeira is right on the tail end. If he gets the light heavyweight belt a second time, it'll be even more surprising than when he won it when he was, 40 plus before. Jamal Hill's got a really good opportunity here because Glover is at some point going to run into that fighter where he's just not recovering. And it might be less about the person that he's fighting and more about Father Time being the opponent that he's losing to. Now, the fact that we know that Glover can take a shot and can still work his way back into the fight is because we see him taking those shots, because he is hittable. He does get hit. Remember the uppercuts that that Gustafsson caught him with. When I saw those uppercuts land on him, I'll be honest, I thought to myself, this is really where we start to see the tail end of Glover Teixeira's career. Because I just thought, you look at Gustafsson, the way that he moves, he's 6'4", he's rangy, he's a good striker. He was able to just pepper Glover Teixeira and make him look like he was the older generation of light heavyweights. But then you see him coming in against Santos and Błachowicz, and you're like, you know what? Basics go a long way, and wisdom goes a long way. Of the years that Glover Teixeira has been competing, I said this to Jamie before the show as well. Imagine how he feels when he wakes up in the morning. I can't imagine. I've just turned 40. I wake up in the morning and it feels like I need like 20 minutes to start thinking about getting out of bed sometimes, especially if I've had a couple of hard training sessions, you know, in the previous days. Tashira's competing at the top level. You know, it's incredible. But it shows you that he's managed to get a real good handle on how to prepare for these fights. Jamal Hill's 12 fights into his professional career. He's still very much at the beginning. You know, a lot of fighters don't find themselves in these positions 12 fights in. It takes a special athlete like a Cyril Gane to be, you know, within sort of 10 or 15 fights and fighting for a world title. But again, this might just be the right timing for Jamal Hill to be able to apply the techniques that he's already very good at and catch Glover Teixeira, who's maybe just a little bit over the hill. And I'm not going to count Glover Teixeira out. I would never pick against him because I do love the fact that he's got fundamentals that shine through. But there are lots of things that Jamal Hill does very, very well. He's very confident striking moving backwards as he is striking moving forwards. You know, you go back to his fight against Darko Stojcic, he's moving back, he's kicking him because, of course, Stojcic was shorter. He was more of a powerhouse. He wanted to get in and try and grapple. And, well, he wanted to strike, but when he was getting outstruck, he started grappling. And he did take him down a few times. I think it was six takedowns out of 9 attempts. I mean, generally, Jamal Hill's got good takedown defense, and I do think he's going to be needing it against Glover Teixeira unless he's able to stop him in the first couple of minutes. But his ability to scramble back to his feet was quite impressive against Darko. Again, different level of opponent, Stojcic compared to Teixeira. If Teixeira gets you on the floor, he's going to be much better at keeping you there. Of course, it's the striking of Jamal Hill that Glover Teixeira has got to be watching out for. And because he's long range, because he's very fluid in his movement. In fact, let's have a quick tail of the tape here just to set the stage. So we've got a 2-inch height advantage for Jamal Hill and a 3-inch reach advantage. And this is also southpaw v orthodox, so you've got to think. So Glover Teixeira has got that tight kind of Mike Tyson style guard where he just kind of bobs side to side and walks his opponents down. And he's very good at finding subtle angles to start walking them onto that tight left hook that we've talked about. But Jamal Hill fights long, and he's a long-rangey southpaw that's got a really fast jab and a really nice cross and a really good check right hook. And then he uses his kicks very well. He'll beat the legs up of Teixeira, who just kind of plod onto that lead leg, and he's quite square in the midsection, so that front kick to the midsection and to the chin is going to be something to watch out for. You know, I'm seeing Lyoto Machida against Randy Couture. I'm seeing Anderson Silva against Vitor Belfort. That snap kick up the center could be really problematic for Glover Teixeira in this fight. And I think that, you know, if you're Jamal Hill and you stand long and side on, and you've got Glover Teixeira, who's, I mean, you know, he might get into a little bit of a sprint at some point, but it's not going to be as dynamic as some of the guys that Jamal Hill could be fighting. There's going to be time for Jamal Hill to move away and pick and poke and move away and kick his leg and move and kick his body and hit him with that cross. And because we've seen Jamal Hill, you know, he's got that check right hook against Jimmy Crute that we saw. He's got that overhand left against Johnny Walker. You know, we know he's got power in both hands. We know he's got good kicks. It was Popek on Contender Series. He was whacking him in the body. Like, all these things are going to be really valuable to accumulate damage on Glover Teixeira. Pick your moments, of course, because you don't want to throw a kick and get tangled up and caught and taken down, because the more times he's taken down and gets back up, the more chance there is of Glover Teixeira slowing him down and maintaining top position or catching his back as he's scrambling. Or in fact, you know, as we talked about with the arm triangle, you know, if Jamal Hill gets mounted, you know, I mean, you know, blue belt gradings don't mean as much, I don't think. But what it does show you is that is a level of awareness currently is far, far behind Glover Teixeira when it comes to jiu-jitsu. That doesn't mean he won't have the necessary basics to keep himself safe, but of course, you know, he's not had the same amount of time to drill those fundamentals, those basics, those elbow knee mount escapes. People tend to reach and do silly things when they start to when they start to feel under pressure. And this is not necessarily, you know, this is not about Jamal Hill. I mean, you know, Kyle Kingsbury is a black belt. He still got caught by Glover Teixeira because he had the pressure in the ground and pound. Like, the higher the grade in jiu-jitsu as someone, the more composure they're going to have in those bad situations to stick to a good technique, good fundamentals. And Glover Teixeira takes it to a whole other level. You can knock him semi-conscious and he's still going to be in on your legs, dragging you to the floor, and he's got his hand raised before he's even realized he's standing on his feet. It's quite an amazing ability to recover. But again, we say that ability to recover is there because we see him use it, and we've seen him use it into his 40s. And with someone like Jamal Hill and the crack that he's got on well, pretty much everything he throws, that's a real risk for Glover to Shearer. You know, if this gets into the third round, like, you know, all the old guys out there, that can, you know, old boys rule t-shirts, you can all sit back and enjoy Glover to Shearer kind of grinding his way to a finish. Because, you know, obviously we saw him lose to Jiří in the last round, but I don't feel like Jamal is the same kind of opponent that Jiří Prochazka is. Like, Yuri's an anomaly, and he's also got, you know, very, very awkward and proven skills. Jamal's very, very good, but I do feel like his game is still stacked in one side. And with the experience that he's got, or rather lack of, compared to Glover to Shearer, I can see him getting kind of big brothered a little bit if he starts to find himself pressured. As I said, he can strike very well moving back. And he knows that if he's giving Glover to Shearer space, Glover's going to be filling that space, bobbing and weaving and trying to counter with overhands and stuff. So Jamal's got to be careful with what techniques he's using. But if he's continually backed up, eventually he's going to find himself against the fence, because Glover's very good at painting you into a corner. And then he's going to have to deal with the wrestling of Teixeira, which cannot be underestimated. Okay. Takedown defense. Let's just have a quick look at these stats. So Glover Teixeira is 2.2 takedowns per 15 minutes compared to nothing for Jamal Hill. Zero on takedown accuracy as well, but Glover Teixeira is 37% takedown accuracy, which is not bad, to be honest. It's not a great stat, but it gets you there. He's got enough basic wrestling to get you into bad positions. And then you take that 37% takedown accuracy and you look at the people that Glover Teixeira has fought over the last few years. I mean, you know, he's fighting people that have got tremendous takedown defense all the way through. I mean, you know, you've got Rashad Evans 2016, I mean, Patrick Cummins 2015, like Phil Davis, you know, like he's fought guys that have got incredible wrestling and been grappling with them. So we've got to take into account that these stats are influenced by the level of opposition that they've faced. And with that in mind, Glover Teixeira's takedown defense is 60%. I don't expect Jamal Hill to take him down, so I think that's rather irrelevant. But Jamal Hill's takedown defense is 65%. So again, his takedown defense looks better than Glover Teixeira's statistically. But then if you look at the fighters that Jamal Hill's faced, he's not really been under a great deal of wrestling offense. I was actually looking through earlier today to see who in fact has taken him down, who's had attempts. I mean, the only one that stands out that's taken him down, aside from Stošić, who I was talking about, Stošić took him down. I never say his name right. Stošić. Either way, Darko is a badass name. It doesn't really matter what your last name is. Yeah, 6 of 9 for Stošić. And they were under pressure, and he didn't control him very much. In fact, let me just go back into that. Yeah, I mean, for 6 takedowns, racking up 2 minutes 19 of control is not... it's not ideal. And 6 takedowns over 3 rounds is also not good, because that shows your opponents are able to get back up, which Jamal Hill was able to do several times. And Thiago Santos, in his last fight, took him down 6 of 20 times. So, you know, his takedown defense has been proven, but only against Santos and Stošić. And I think Glover Teixeira is going to have a far better grappling offense than both of those fighters. What else haven't I said? I think this is going to be a fun one to watch. I'm a big fan of Teixeira. I'm a big fan of Jamal Hill. I honestly don't think that we're going to get the best light heavyweight in the planet wearing that belt after this weekend, regardless of who wins. I think the best light heavyweights are out there in this division, and I think this is an opportunity to get a belt around someone so they have a champion. Glover is incredible. Jamal Hill is definitely a budding star. I don't feel like he's at that position right now where you would consider him to be the best light heavyweight on the planet, even if he beats Glover Teixeira. And I feel like Glover is at that point when he knows that on any given day he can beat anybody in this top 10, but there are also a bunch of people in this top 10 that could quite easily beat him on any given day as well. It's all a bit up in the air at the moment at light heavyweight. And now, obviously, we've got the news of John Jones moving up and fighting for the heavyweight belt against Cyril Gane. He's not going to be going anywhere near light heavyweight anytime soon, is he? Let's be honest. I mean, his neck's about as thick as my leg. He's looking pretty strong and pretty lethal. But I'll do a whole other show on that. Of course, that's going to be an interesting one. And Ngannou, and where's he going to go? PFL, maybe, hopefully. Fingers crossed for that one. But let's just get one thing clear. You don't strip someone of a title when they leave the title on the table along with the deal that you offered them. That's a vacated belt. And Ngannou's still the best heavyweight champion in the world. Can't deny that. And now we're not going to get to see John Jones and Ngannou. That's always going to be a mystery. Bit of a shame, really. Bit of a tangent for you at the end there. Interesting. I'll look forward to doing that war room for you. Enjoy these fights. I'll see you next time.